Please join me in the prayer of the church as you find it beginning on page 48. And let us rise. Everlasting and merciful God, we beseech you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to have mercy upon us and to hear our prayer. Look in mercy upon your church. Protect it and sanctify it by your truth. May your word be taught in its purity and your sacraments be rightly administered. Grant unto your church faithful pastors who shall declare your truth with power and shall live according to your will. Send forth laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith unto all unbelievers and unto the people of Israel. In mercy remember the enemies of your church and grant to them repentance unto life. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear us in the truth of your salvation. Let your protecting hand be over our country and over all who travel. Prosper what is good among us and bring to naught every evil counsel and purpose. Protect and bless your servants, the President of the United States, the Governor of this state, our judges and magistrates and all in authority. Fit them for their high calling by the gift of your spirit of wisdom and fear, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy. Lord, be our helper. According to your promise, O God, be the defender of the widow and the father of the orphan. Relieve and comfort the sick and the sorrowful. Graciously help those who are assaulted by the devil and who are in peril of death. Be the strength of those who are suffering for the sake of Christ's holy name. Grant that we may live together in peace and prosperity. Bestow upon us good and seasonable weather, and bless us with upright Christian counsel in all that we undertake. O Lord, be with all in trouble. Hear their prayers to the honor of your name. We especially commend to your care and keeping this your assembly, which you have bought with a great price. Keep from us all offenses and bind us together in the unity of your holy love. Grant that the little ones who are baptized in your name may be brought up in your fear. At your table, give to those who there commune with you peace and life everlasting. Let all rejoice who trust in you. Let them shout for joy because you defend them. Be merciful, O God, to all, according to your great love in Christ Jesus our Lord. When our final hour shall come, grant us a blessed departure from this world, and on the last day a resurrection to your glory. Amen. Amen. Grant us your peace, O Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Our scripture reading for today is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the bishop Timothy, the second chapter, beginning with verse 1. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I fight authority, authority always wins. I fight authority always wins. I've been doing it since I was a young kid. I come out grinning. I fight authority always wins. So says the great theologian John Mellencamp. It's interesting how our sinful human nature tends to look at and deal with authority. If you think about it, the first sin of Adam and Eve was really to challenge authority, to usurp God's authority. And that's really at the heart and core of all temptation for us, if you really think about it, is to raise up what we want and what we think as the authority and place it over any other authority that has been put over us. That same sinful urge that Adam and Eve first experienced and caused them to bring sin into the world is still so alive in all of us today. We do it every day with God. And quite frequently it shows itself up as well when it comes to how we look at those who have earthly rule over us in a variety of different ways. We have a built-in propensity toward rebellion against anybody or anything that has something to do with being placed over us. It showed up probably in our lives very early on when we were little kids. How often did your mom and dad, like mine, have to say the same things over and over and over and over again to us? The same disobedience over the exact same crime. We just couldn't get it through our thick little heads. And then when we get to school with our teachers, it stays with us as we get to those who are bosses over us and employers over us. And likewise, the same rebellion in us can spill over as to how we look at our government officials. We love to point out all of their flaws and all the things they're doing wrong. Anyone who represents the law over me, anyone who represents something that's a higher authority over me, it's easy for me to question them. It's easy for me to just think I know a lot better than they do. And there's a natural tendency in us then to kind of despise those who have these positions over us and to talk badly about them and to kind of find ways around the rules that they put over us. And you can even see it when we watch sporting events. The officials are there to represent the law. They're there to keep everything just. And granted, they make mistakes. But how often don't we perceive them as the enemies when they come walking out onto the court or onto the field? But boy, when authority works in our favor, oh man, boy, then do we need it. When it's going to help me and when it's going to serve my best interest and my benefit, yeah, then I want them on my side. Then I want them there. Suddenly we have great expectations for them. Suddenly they're the ones to be listened to, aren't they? When they serve my own selfish, sinful interests. How we want them to come through for us at that time. I remember years ago when I was in college, a friend of mine had been in a grocery store. This was back in the 70s when there was a lot of kind of anti-establishment and anti-government and anti-police mood going on in the country. And a friend of mine had witnessed a lady who suddenly had her purse stolen out of her shopping cart. A guy ran by and grabbed her purse and took off. And she screamed out at the top of her lungs, "Somebody call the pigs! Somebody call the pigs!" We want authority there when they help us, but otherwise, we don't mind speaking badly about them. Our text today reminds us of the great importance of all earthly authority that has been placed over us in our lives, and to remind us of the great blessings that they bring to us. The authority that exists in our world, the government, the police, our laws, the judges, and all of that, all the way up the chain and all the way down the chain, they are there to protect us and to provide us with benefits in our lives. And without all of this, just think of what would happen to us. Just think how we might be devoured. How many times has your life actually been spared because somebody who maybe had evil intents against you realized if they took it to its fullest conclusion would end up in prison or having their life taken? How many times have you young women here avoided being raped because of the fear of incarceration? How many storms might have killed us? How many fires might have destroyed us without the blessings and benefits of our government? And how much money and goods would we now be missing if it were not for the long arm of the law? There is a natural curbing to the sinful urges in man that we are protected from, each one of us in our lives, because of the blessings of these authorities. This came through to me clearly years ago once when I was watching news coverage of a horrible storm that had swept through a big island somewhere in the Caribbean. And it had knocked out all of the communications. And because of this, and there was flooding and so on, because of all of this, the police were not able to get out and to take care of protecting the citizens as well as they had hoped. And it was estimated that more than 80% of the population was involved in looting. 80% went out and just stole from each other. Store owners had to sit on the top of their stores and the entrances with shotguns to try to protect their goods. What would possibly happen to us in our day-to-day lives if all of a sudden all of this civil authority was lifted off? We expect certain benefits from our government, but we can also take them for granted and forget about how important these things are, and often fail to express our gratitude to God for them. I know I certainly do. With the exception of when they might rarely command us to sin, God wants all authority over us to be honored and to be respected and even prayed for. That starts with our parents in the home, with employers, with government officials, with teachers, judges, and so on. And in the text in front of us, Paul encourages this young pastor, Timothy, to make sure that the church he serves, to make sure that his congregation prays for this civil authority. In fact, he says, I exhort you to do this first of all. He puts it at the top of the list in the same way that in the second table of the law that deals with man to man, the authority of our parents, God puts first of all, doesn't he? This is important to God. It is important for the kingdom of the left, the civil rulers and government and so on. It is important for the kingdom of the left to permit and allow the kingdom of the right to flourish, God's kingdom, in order to provide peace for believers to live a godly life and to live out a life that is in reverence to God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the one great mediator that Paul mentions in our text, he alone stands before God on your behalf. He is the only one who has ever in human history perfectly submitted to the authority of God and to all human authority as well. But he didn't do this just for himself. He has done it for you and me. And on top of that, he permitted the strong arm of God's divine justice and authority to crush him so that it would never have to land on you. He placed himself, our Lord Jesus, placed himself not only beneath the divine court, but also beneath the civil court in order to go to the cross. Just think of the Roman centurion who stood there by his side, making sure that his earthly execution took place in the same way that God in the higher court in the heavens watched to make sure that his execution took place. All of this on our behalf. He gave himself as a ransom for all, our text says. And he did this to guarantee your citizenship in heaven. He did this to guarantee that you, when you someday have to stand before the highest authority there ever is, God himself, that you would appear holy and righteous in his sight, which you truly are through faith in Christ. So now those of us who have been blessed with citizenship in the higher land, in the higher realm, we should be the ones most of all here in the lower realm to respect and appreciate and to desire to live under the authority of the lower realm of authority over us, with the greatest respect and love and concern for our earthly rulers. God would have you and me honor the civil authority over us, not simply to stay out of jail, not simply to avoid fines, but because the very one who has redeemed us with his blood and given us the hope of heaven just asks us to do it, to show our love to him. So may God truly bless those who have been entrusted with this authority over us. Amen. Let us rise for our hymn.